Say, Doc, this paper says you were at the execution of that Rogin woman this morning.
I was.
Says she insisted you walk to the death chamber with her. Guess she had a crush on you. It's a good thing you didn't meet sooner, eh, Doc?
Tell me, Doctor, was she really crazy?
Grant, I believe she was quite sane. But undoubtedly one of the most dangerous women in criminal history.
Well, she's not dangerous anymore.
No? She may be more dangerous now than when they had her locked in a cell.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and with me live from Planet Vulcan, Trish Coughlin.
Hello.
Hello. You had quite the weekend, I hear.
I did.
Thanksgiving, U.S. trying to get an extra Thanksgiving in, and this is what you get.
I guess I got greedy, but like the time down there was fun, hanging out with my cousin and
that's good,
doing some stuff.
But the flight delays on the way back, not so great.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. Next time I'm just going to Australia, it'll be the same flight time.
Oh.
Less.
Get it together with the de-icers, guys. Get it together.
Right? Hire some Canadians. We'll come down. We'll help you out.
Yeah. We're used to that.
Yeah. And then we got home to Canada. No snow.
No snow. El Nino, we love you.
Yeah. Sarcasm. Yay.
All right. Well, this week we're going to be flying just the two of us again this week for Supernatural from 1933. So, yes, it's not the long-running television series that we're holding some of our favorite actors prisoner. We are talking about a very old movie from 1933, which I actually kind of mentioned during the Mr. Deeds episode last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded interesting. The general gist of this is you've got a black widow murderess. So she marries yes. people for their money and then kills them. She likes to strangle them.
Yeah.
And she's being put to death for the crimes she has committed. This is the beginning of this damn movie. It's like yes. right out of the gate. She's being put to death in this movie, and she comes back and possesses another woman to get revenge on the guy who fingered her for the crimes in the first place.
Yes. And then it does something kind of weird. It does, but it does a weird thing where she kind of blames the guy, but then this doctor seems to think there's an evil spirit in her and it's not really her.
I didn't really like the angle of the doctor. Like, they're prepping her for the electric chair and he's already yeah. got theories that
yeah.
this type of murder causes the convict who's being electrocuted, put to death, to yeah. possess somebody else to commit more crimes. So they set this all up in dialogue and newspaper cuttings and all mm-hmm. sorts of stuff. Like, this is like 2 minutes in.
Yeah. Well, it's only like slightly over an hour, so they had to pack it.
Boy, did they pack it. They yeah. packed it hard. And yeah, so this murderess, her boyfriend that fingered her for all of these murders, was also a spiritualist. A fake spiritualist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
a scam artist.
Yeah. So we got a con artist. We've got the murderess. We've got possession. We've got an heiress who's being possessed. It's a yeah. whole thing. This thing's packed. And I saw this and man, this sounds like ripe for remake territory. A good horror mystery thriller. And yeah, it did.
Oh, and you've got a ghost of a brother.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We got the ghost of the brother who's also dead. You know, I wasn't sure if he had been murdered by Ruth or if it was just an unrelated death and they were dealing with that within the family because she was now the heir to the family fortune, which painted that target on their back for the spiritualist to try to take advantage of them.
Which took me a while to figure out what he was doing. Because you can just go into apparently a funeral home and put a death mask on somebody, hang out till that dries, get home and make a new one.
Yeah, like, so nobody's noticing this guy making a mold of a dead guy's face?
Nope, apparently not.
Initially, I didn't know what he was doing, though. So it's actually good that you're seeing him do this stuff, but you're not sure what he's doing until later on when you see the trickery happening. You're like, oh, that's when he was doing that thing in the funeral home. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because it's not very clear because he's got this bowl and the stuff that he's mixing in.
Yeah, I thought some weird rituals going on.
Me too. I thought he was trying to resurrect him or something. Yeah. It was weird.
I wasn't sure. And then until he started talking to his landlady later on. And
yeah.
Okay. He's this bad guy. He's a scam artist of some sort.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure.
She was very nosy, but I kind of loved her. She's like a ha ha ha. She's a drunk and just a wild card.
Yeah. Trying to blackmail him for some of the money he's going to get from the heiress.
Exactly. Oh, and he's got a ring that if he grabs you stabs you with it, you'll die.
Yeah, the poison ring. Like, talk about marrying well there, Ruth. Like, two murderers.
I know.
Get the feeling they were onto each other, and it was a case of like, oh, wow. You're going to mess up my thing.
Yeah.
So I'll get you off the table by sending you to jail for murdering all your other husbands.
Yeah, it's weird. If you do notice it, it's quite good. When she's possessing the other lady, Miss Courtney, she is handing him a drink, but she's holding a napkin and she's using that to get the ring away from him so he can't get her.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that note because if you're looking for it, you're like, oh, that's how she's going to not be dead.
Yeah, this movie's really clever and really subtle. Like, they make you sure you see that stuff in the first place. And when it comes down to later on, you're like, okay, you're watching for it. You're waiting for it.
Exactly.
And he's trying to finger a family friend for the murder of John Courtney, the dead guy whose face that Bavian had done the death mask of.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a decent fingering because the guy is managing all that money. So, I mean, you can make a case to, like, give people a little bit of suspicion.
Yep. You said decent fingering and then my head's all turned now.
Sorry. He's being fingered for suspicion. But Carol Lombard in this, she does a really good job for when she's possessed by Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Her face really changes.
Yeah, for somebody who, this was her only horror role, along with Randolph Scott. And yeah, she was mainly known for comedy, like the screwball comedies.
Yeah.
So this was a role she was kind of uncomfortable with. But you think about timing in horror and timing in comedy, it's fairly similar.
Oh, yeah. You've got to hit those notes. And I mean, with comedy, too, you're selling something that isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
So they really do go together.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I kind of came across this one, I'm like, man, I love the concept of this. And at its short 65 minutes, it allows for a lot of expansion.
Oh, absolutely. And I have a few ideas. Missed opportunities I feel they had in several areas.
Well, yeah. I mean, geez, I think you need to set a little bit up more with Bavian and maybe how Ruth gets caught in the first place.
Well, that is as well as I like to think where she blames him for something. I like to think that he's a fake spiritualist, but if we're going to go, and this is just if we are, where the doctor seems to think it's like an evil spirit that made Ruth do this. She could have been a perfectly fine person, but Babian actually brought something in when he was doing one of his fake seances that got to Ruth, and that's how this whole thing kind of kicks off.
Boy, the doctor's the one that's most problematic for me, yes. To be honest.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to have a dead person after they're executed. Like, what kind of pull do you have?
Like, from a scientific standpoint, like, if this is the doctor who's overseeing an execution, all of this sounds ridiculous coming from a doctor's mouth.
Yeah. But I didn't think he was a medical doctor. I thought he was sort of a professor.
Yeah. And then him being given the body to experiment on.
Like, yeah. No.
We're going into a whole different territory there.
In just his apartment.
I know. It was so weird.
I'm just going to take this dead body back to my apartment and do whatever with it.
He looked like he got caught having sex or something.
Right? Right? Like, anybody else worth their salt would have been like, so you just want to take a dead body back to your house. Huh. What's the deal there, sir?
This isn't normal. If you think it's normal, it's not.
Yeah. Like, there's an easy workaround, too, where you could have him. He works for the prison, and, like, he's the one who does the autopsy, being like, yeah, she died of the electric chair, so that's what we did, and it's all good. Because she does mention in one of the things where Ruth is saying, oh, so they're going to keep me healthy so they can kill me. And they do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think executions have actually been called off because somebody had like a cold or the flu or because they have to be healthy to be killed.
Yeah. God forbid you explode and spread your disease.
Right?
It does make me wonder, like, why do they have to be perfectly healthy? Because you are killing them. You are executing them. Mm-hmm. So is the healthy part really necessary?
I know.
Do you really need to be at full health, not have the sniffles to be executed?
I guess.
These are questions maybe the state, I need to know.
Right? Like, is the state like going, well, we ought to make sure that we totally did it, that it's totally us. We totally did it. It's a pride thing.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll run the trailer here for Supernatural 1933. And like these old movies, I mean, there is definitely some voice work, which is a breath of fresh air for these 30s movies.
Yes.
But there is also going to be periods of music as well. So just be patient. This is the original trailer. And if you want to see it outright, go look at it on YouTube so you can see all the text thrown up on the screen and get the full effect of what these 30s trailers are like. But there's definitely some audio in this one, so don't worry.
Be more dangerous now than when they had her locked in a cell.
Hammond wants our money. He murdered me. You are next.
What's this?
Thank you.
That was the trailer for Supernatural from 1933, directed by Victor Halperin, who directed White Zombie. This is kind of a follow-up to White Zombie, actually. This is his next film. He also did another one called Torture Ship in 1939 and Revolt of the Zombies in 1936. Sounds like my kind of dude.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's really into, you know, possessed people, people not acting under their own power.
It does seem like that. He does like his zombies for sure and Torture Ship. Yeah. My lord.
I know. Is that like the precursor to Saw or Hostel?
I don't know. But should be. Maybe there's another remake there. I don't know.
There we go.
The story and adaptation were written by Garnet Weston, and he also wrote White Zombie with Victor Halperin, and he also wrote The Great Train Robbery in 1941, Western wow. That's a big staple, and anybody who's seen Firefly and the heist, that was based on The Great Train Robbery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Also written by Harvey F. Thu, who did Song of the West and Count of Monte Cristo, and Brian Marlowe, who did Beware Spooks and Murder Goes to College.
Okay, Murder Spooks. There's like the last episode we did, there was like Ghost Catchers and yeah. Spookbusters
and Ghost Catchers. They were so close.
They were right around it.
We got Beware Spooks and then Murder Goes to College. I mean, murder's a thing you do, not a student.
Right? Well, I mean, if you have a group of crows, the murder goes to college. It's just a bunch of crows there.
Crow College. We don't know. I haven't seen the movie. We don't know. Maybe you're onto something. I doubt it, but...
No, I don't think I am. That's just... Or unless there's a guy named Charles Murder.
This stars Carol Lombard as Roma Courtney, and, you know, her from My Man Godfrey, and episode 306, when we talked about To Be or Not To Be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was actually surprised we'd talked about her before, but we had. Poor Carol, she died on a USO tour on a plane trip back, doing a good thing, and the plane had crashed, and she died young in her 30s. But she was one of the biggest stars of her day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Randolph Scott is Grant Wilson, and he was in, like, every freaking Western under the sun, including The Stranger Wore a Gun. Yeah, and he plays the love interest. I'm not sure if they're married. No, he was going to propose in this, so they're not married yet.
Yeah.
So the love interest of Roma Courtney, and the character that has very little to do for most of it.
Although yes.
He's always a few steps behind everything, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's always a couple steps behind. It's like, oh, okay, I was smart enough to get the plate number, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he needs more to do, because it's sort of like, every time he showed up, I'm like, oh yeah, he's in this.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it too. It was like, oh yeah, he's in this. The movie itself, the characters were fine, the script was good, it could have used more time.
Yes.
So you could actually remember that these characters actually have other things to do, and actually go watch them do it. Alan Dinehart was Paul Bavian. This is the spiritualist we were talking about, and he was in something called Redheads on Parade. Sounds like a dream I had. I'm not going to go into details.
They're just in Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. Vivian Osborne is Ruth Rogan. It's spelled Rogan, but they pronounce it Rogan. She was in something called Dragonwick.
Ooh.
Yeah. She was not a bad star in her own right as well. Mm-hmm. And I think Carol Lombard did a pretty good job of, like, portraying the Ruth character when she was possessed. Like, you can see that transformation in her face. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, especially if you're normally comfortable in comedy.
Oh, yeah. I found she was really good at capturing her mannerisms, how she kind of held herself. Like, it seems she always kind of had her shoulders up. Mm-hmm. And around. And Carol did that.
Yeah, and she did this thing with her eyebrows, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And boy, talk about eyebrows.
right? Just flying halfway off the head.
Yeah, add those to your list.
Yeah, they're going to be part of the eyebrows that are going to be done. Eyebrows and mustaches.
Yeah. H.B. Warner is Dr. Carl Houston. And we've talked about him a couple of times, actually. First time was episode 319. I'll give you a hint. It's a Christmas movie.
Oh, Miracle on 34th Street?
No, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, damn it. I only knew one of these, and it's only because it's recent.
Well, you should know this one then, because the other one is episode 413.
Mr. Deeds Goes to Town.
Yeah. That was just last week. That was the connective tissue here.
Yeah.
That's the one that made me go, huh, that movie looks interesting.
Yeah.
So, thank you,
Dr. And then he shows up. And then he shows up, and I was like, oh, wait, I've seen him just recently.
Yes. This is the character that bothered me, though. Like, he's the convenient character that seems to know everything, and he's connected to the execution and also a friend of the family. So he's there at the funeral of the brother. Like, he's too convenient. Too many contrivances there.
I have an idea.
Okay.
But I'll wait till we get through the cast.
Yeah. We don't have too many more because it's the 30s. So if you got credit, you're really lucky.
Yeah.
Burl Mercer or Beryl? Burl? Burl Mercer. Let's go with that. She was Madame Gorgon. And I kept thinking there was going to be a more majestic kind of character with Madame Gorgon.
No.
No, she's a landlady.
She's a drunken landlady.
Drunken landlady. I didn't bother casting her, to be honest, because it didn't really fit into any thoughts I had. William Fornham is Nick or Nicky Hammond. And he was in The Mummy's Curse. We also talked about him in episode 353, a Connecticut Yankee.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Willard Robertson is the prison warden. He was in Dr. X. George Burr McKinnon is Max Schmidt, and he was in White Zombie. A lot of this cast was. Lyman Williams is the ghost of John Courtney, and he was in The 11th Commandment. And that's the cast.
Yeah, and John Courtney doesn't have any lines. He just sort of shows up.
Yeah, he's more of a face. Yeah, this face is kind of projected everywhere. So I guess that's kind of important. And I feel like in a remake where we got a little more time, we can do some flashbacks. We can show the lead up to his death. Maybe there's a connection there to Ruth.
Yes.
Do we do that? Do we not do that? I was not sure if there was, like, if that was what she was in jail for and awaiting her execution. I was under the presumption that she had killed John Courtney.
Yeah. Because
if she had a relationship with Bavian, that made me all confused. It's like, well, if she had a relationship with Bavian who fingered her, then what happened to John?
Right? It was weird. And this is my fix for the doctor. He's not really a doctor. He's like a private investigator they've hired to like investigate John's death.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Because if that's the dude who is responsible for capturing Ruth.
Yeah.
Or getting to a point where he's gotten in the investigation, he's gotten Bavian to talk. Bavian doesn't want to go down with her, so he fingers her instead.
Yeah, and I mean, you could have it where he's investigated a lot of things, and he's like you could do the whole thing where it's like, it's weird, like these women just start murdering people, and I don't know what it is, and it's passed through these things. It's like they all have the same MO, where they're ridiculously strong in their hands, and we don't know why. Because they show it several times in this movie where she's just crushing thick cans.
Yeah. So how do we tie that to Bavian?
Well, I think you do in that you've said that he was part of the people that he got to testify against Ruth.
Yeah.
When he captured him.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of something a little more horror-esque. Maybe he's cast up a demon that possesses these women and he controls the demon.
Yeah. And he could also have where he gets a cut.
Yeah.
When they've married men.
Yeah. Well, I figured there was some sort of deal there.
Yeah.
See, I didn't understand how he fit in. Like, okay, if he fingered her, the one thing that bugged me was why. And we don't get a why.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he do that?
I thought it was because he was terrified and couldn't control her anymore.
Well, I got the feeling she'd killed at least three other men before. Mm-hmm.
She did.
And if this was, if he was the latest as far as boyfriends go.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she does say she loves him and she's like, please see me. I forgive you. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's kind of a hard pull.
Yeah. They're partners in this. Like he's there to help get rid of the bodies or cover up things. Or that's the problem with this a little bit too, is the more you do it, the more eyeballs are on you. Right. Of course she's going to get caught, you know, let's see, three ex-husbands have already died of strangulation. I'm surprised she hadn't been caught already.
Right. There's a way around it. Cause it's so funny. If you listen to some true crime podcasts, it's wild that how many people get married and remarried, like 6-7 husbands and nobody bats an eye. It's weird, at least back in this time frame.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's our first question, is our starting point. Like, where do we put this?
You know, it might be better put in the past because, again, like you say, it fixes the people noticing problem.
To a point, yeah. Yeah, what you could do is have a character narrating this story from a more future setting, reflecting on this, on the past of this story, and maybe it's relevant to the present. I mean, I'm a little worried about too many flashbacks, because if we're going to, well, I will have more time. Maybe we just won't do some of the flashbacks.
No, but you could have it where, somebody is narrating it. Yeah, you could have somebody's like, this is the true crime podcast, and there's been this new case where somebody strangled so many people. It's like, this has happened before, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or the detective. Oh, yeah, maybe the detective's being interviewed for one of these crime podcasts.
Yes, there you go.
Or Netflix documentary or something.
Yes! Oh, Netflix documentary. That works. Love that.
Okay, yeah, okay. I like that. So we'd have like... Do we do the detective, or, you know, some characters are alive, some characters are not, which gives you a little bit of mystery as to whether they died during this story or if they made it to the present for an interview. It's hard to get, be hard to tell too, because some of them are going to be older.
True.
Yeah. So you're not even sure who's being interviewed right away until the pieces start gathering together. I'm really, really want to hold on to the mystery as much as possible.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, you could have it so it's voiceover being like, well, it was this that happened. And because that's what they do in the Netflix ones. I mean, sometimes they don't even have the talking head. They're just like, they show what happened.
Yeah, I think maybe you start with narration and then you, once the story is told, you pull into the present and then the face of the old dude talking and you realize, you go, oh, thanks for the interview, so-and-so, you know, Carl Houston or whatever. I think it should be him.
I think it should be because he's sort of around it.
Yeah. It's either that or Grant Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You could have Grant. I mean, it would give him more to do.
Yeah.
Because, you could have it where it is Grant Wilson. And he's having more to do because he is worried about Roma.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a lot more things, I think, before this happens, too, where she starts to get. I think I want one disposable guy that she kills just because she wants to.
Well, okay. Because we know Bavian is going to kill Nikki Hammonds, because he's trying to finger Nikki for killing John.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure what the motivation is there either. Like, is he deliberately steering the blame over to this innocent character because he was the one who did it, or maybe he's being already investigated. Maybe he had a connection to John before he died.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would do it with Nikki Hammond, because the other thing about it too is sometimes when people are trying to divest rich people of their money, what they want to do is cast suspicion over anybody who's close to them and isolate them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what he would probably be trying to doing with Hammond, is Hammond has been around the whole time, but then he's like, oh yeah, but like, where's all your money? Do you know what's happening with all your money? You know, think about it. I'm the only one you can trust. You have to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I've talked to your dead brother.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Yeah, if this is the guy who's kind of controlling the state money, yeah, that's the guy you want to put on shaky ground, because maybe that's the position Paul Bavian wants to be in.
He does. And you could also have him where he's trying to tell her that he and Grant were in on it together, the guy that's asking her that she's involved with.
Mm-hmm.
He's just making sure that she's doubting everyone around her so he can get close.
Yeah, I'm not sure about how even the whole spiritualist stuff still fits in, because I'm not sure if any of that works anymore.
Well, it was such a big thing back then.
That's true.
That sort of a thing. I think why some of it has to take place in the past, because it was huge then.
Yeah, we might have to move it up a bit, like maybe into the 50s or 60s.
Oh, yeah. 50s were there. And I mean, the 60s were big. Like, there was astrology and tarot. Like, that's it was true. Coming back into fashion.
Yeah, I guess along with the hippie movement and the drugs.
Yeah.
And drugs being easily acquirable at that point. So, Bavian would be able to have his poison ring or whatever.
Oh, and it could be with part of his tricks is a tiny dosage in a cup of tea that he's going to offer you before the seance.
Yeah, yeah. So all of the fakery comes off a little more surreal.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not
And you're more willing to believe it because your brain's going like, whoa, it's already doing stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was actually pretty cool that they would show you like the hidden wires and the tricks and the buttons and the chairs and like the movie kind of sets it up so it shows you all the tricks ahead of time before they're being performed. It's 1933, but I think it still looks fairly decent. I mean, they were experimenting with holograms already with this.
Oh, yeah. Like with the face, and she's screaming, and it's made from the death mask, and Grant gets up to try and look through that one case and some mirrors and projections.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, you know, Ruth's invited to this and she's skeptical, but she's also in mourning. You know, it's like, what can it hurt, right? Like, let's just check it out.
Yeah. You could have Roma. There was a weird thing. I've steered away from this now, but I kept thinking it would be funny because she's involved with Grant and it was about possessing other people, that her brother is like possessing Grant. He's like, ew, you're my sister. But we're not doing that. I just thought that would be funny. Because that would be weird.
That would be weird. I did keep thinking that the brother would show up somehow. But,
right?
Because there were always these little hints that he was leaving messages, but they're all fakes from Bavian.
Yeah. But except for the very, very end.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that he's kind of around, but I guess it's because he's a benevolent spirit. He's not possessing people.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
I like the idea of not knowing, like this actually being a ghost story, but not knowing what's real and what's fake.
Oh, yeah.
And what those motivations are. So I do like the idea of maybe he was murdered by Ruth.
Yes.
But at the same point, that doesn't make sense unless they were engaged
or
even married.
Because, I mean, she's a black widow and black widows kill for money. So. It makes sense they would be involved.
Yeah. And I'm fine with all of that. Just none of that was told to me. So, and I think that stuff, like I want to see the murder at the beginning. We can flash forward a bit to the funeral afterwards. Like I want to see it from a certain, like it's not a mystery of who did it. So we can actually just see it. Yes. Right.
And I kind of want to see Roma where she's talking about John. I told him not to marry that woman. I didn't trust her. Like she's like, I'm glad she's going to fry.
Yeah, I like that. And maybe the doctor is an actual police detective who has connected these characters. Okay, yes, Bavian fingered him, but he's the one that connected Ruth to all the other murders.
Yeah, he made a deal.
Yeah.
Which does happen.
Yeah. Because, if they're both in John's life in some way, shape, or form, there's going to be investigations on all these people and what their connections to. And
exactly.
The whole movie, I was unsure, like, how is Bavian connected? Is he just forcing himself into this, like, traumatic thing now? Or, like, why would he finger Ruth to put her on death row unless he was a suspect on something else as well and had to get the heat taken off him?
Exactly. And I mean, in the old 30s, like the scam thing where saying I've talked to your dead husband or wife or brother, that was like a normal thing. But with this, I mean, because Ruth and John were involved, Babian would have been around. So it would be easier for him to kind of contact Roma.
Yeah.
She could have met him before, like at a party that John and Ruth were having. And he was doing tarot and doing readings, whatever.
Party trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That even happens now with actors. And then you get the celebrity spiritualists, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Like, they exist now.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not 100% sold, but it works. It works.
Yeah. Well, it makes the connections make a bit more sense.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Actually, maybe, yeah, maybe Babian's got a TV show.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Where he's doing that. What's that guy? He does concerts. And he's like, I'm getting a B. A B. Is there a Marilyn here? Do you know a B or a D?
And I don't remember that dude's name, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the whole thing. He does cold readings. So he's very, very astute in how to kind of manipulate people, especially grieving people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, he doesn't charge. They just get donated money, and it tends to be thousands of dollars.
Yes, absolutely. So he's doing well, but he knows how to get himself in with the right wealthy people who will gift him nice chunks of change.
Okay. I think we got him figured out. Ruth, we already know her. What's?
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we need to get Grant a little bit more to do. And the money man, Nikki. Nikki I liked because he felt like the family friend who's friendly with everybody. And he's the one that manages the estate.
Yes. Yes. An older gentleman who the family has known forever. Like mm-hmm. It would be Uncle Nikki in most places, right?
Yeah. I think his character actually kind of doesn't need to change that much.
No, because I also like the idea where Babian's trying to contact Roma and he's like, you're not contacting her anymore, because that would be what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Nikki's like, I know your game. I'm not on board, you bastard.
Yeah, he's the guy who's literally paid to watch out for people like this.
Yes.
And he was in this movie. In fact, he was like dead set against accepting the invite to a seance.
Exactly. Which is why she went behind his back. She's like, I'm not telling him. But then Grant's going because he's concerned about her. So he'll do that. But it would also be when she starts behaving weird. He follows her because he's like, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm. Then we can have him make that connection with no longer the doctor, but Detective Houston.
Exactly. You can have him being, I just, that Babian guy. But you could also have where he's planning to propose. You could have him propose to Roma when she's Ruth and she's like, no way.
Oh, well, it wouldn't even be no way because she'd fall into old habits.
Oh, true. But maybe Grant isn't as wealthy as she's used to.
Maybe not. Maybe that's a change there where she could maybe attempt to murder him. I don't know. I mean, that's not her goal in possession. Her possession goal is to get revenge on Babian. But I liked the idea of her maybe, you know, like, well, one for the road.
Yes.
This is what I do.
Yeah, she could have the whole thing, my hands are getting itchy.
Yeah.
Need to do a little strangle.
Yeah, there could be a sex scene where things get a little aggressive.
Yeah. He's like, Roma, this isn't like you.
Yeah. Okay. Filled in another 2 minutes.
There we go. We filled in another 2 minutes.
But depending I mean, we are getting spicy. We want it to be.
True. True. Well, I mean, we're playing it for a modern audience.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get spicier.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, then and it gives us more to sell Roma being possessed as well. We would need to see her do more of the things that Ruth would do, which hopefully we'll have set up at the beginning of the movie before she's been arrested.
Yes. Yeah, you can show her being, again, we'll have the parties, we'll show her being like a lovely hostess, but also very like seductive
mm-hmm.
and how she gets into these men's lives.
We'll see her murder John Courtney, and at least we'll have a more use for the actor other than his face.
Exactly. Yes. And I think it would be nice because the thing is, you have her, she's very distraught at her brother's death. And it's like, we don't really get a feel for their relationship. It would be nice to see why they're such close siblings and how they get on with each other.
I think that's important. Obviously, the parents are gone if John's the one controlling the estate and if it's being passed on. There's probably like, they're probably very close.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, you could have it too where Ruth, part of why she kills John is because John has said, he's like, no, this is the family fortune. I'll keep you comfortable, but you're not getting a big chunk of it. And then she loses it.
Yeah, so she still falls into old habits. Maybe this is how Beavan comes in.
Yes. She's
trying to...
tell him to change his will.
Change the will or get into his head, but also get into hers as well to maybe put doubt on Grant.
Hammond.
Yeah. Hammond and Grant. Because if she's going to marry Grant, I think that's somewhere he wants to be. So he becomes the heir.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's something I'm tossing around anyway.
Well, yeah. Also, not even so much. He needs to get rid of Grant. Because then once Grant's gone, because she loves Grant, he wants to kind of get him out of the way so that he's the shoulder she cries on once her and Grant don't work out.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to be the rebound guy and then hopefully get in there, do the proposition, and then he can pull the same trick that Ruth did.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, he's already murdered Hammond. He's trying to murder Wilson.
Yep. Exactly. He and Ruth are birds of a feather. That's probably why they're in each other's lives. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Any other characters we need to... No, I think we got everybody.
Yeah. Everybody who's significant. Yes.
Yeah. We got this story being told from the present into the past, which is primarily where the story will take place as the murderer is being slowly revealed and through trickery and supernatural activity. I do feel like the ghost of John Courtney needs to be dropping hints here and there. We're not sure if they're fake or if we're not sure if they're real.
Yes.
Which ones are which. And maybe John does possess Grant for a moment.
Oh, for sure.
To put him in the right spot. Like, why does Ruth get to have all the fun?
Exactly. Well, you could have it too.
Like, why does Ruth leave Roma's body after she's gotten her revenge? Why doesn't she stay? That's where I think John needs to come in to force Ruth out of Roma's body.
Exactly. Or I also had another thing. The narrator, the person who's covering this whole story, gets Ruth in another body.
Oh. She jumps
it's
in.
It's the twist.
with the twist.
The twist.
Yeah. So she's jumped into either Houston or Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And there'd be like a signature, like eye move or something that the character would do.
Yeah.
So we see that reveal, or we could see the Ruth superimposed over the person.
Exactly.
That's a good little Twilight Zone ending. Yeah.
Grant at the end, he's like, oh my, and then my poor beloved Roma. She died, and it won't be a strangling. It'll be like, she died a few years into our marriage. It wasn't great. She fell off a boat when we were out yachting or something.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's something fun. Very fun. But, you know, I was also thinking, too, where John can come in is when we're talking about dropping clues. What I want him to do is to mess with some of Beavan's tricks, so that they're revealed during one of his little things. And Beavan's like, but I checked this before we started. And it's John.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like a trick goes off, but it doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or John actually appears.
Yeah. And so
freaks out Beavan.
Yeah. And strangely enough, all the tricks he's using to show that there's spirits, there really is one. But yeah. He's doing the opposite thing.
It's just pissing him off.
Exactly. Spirits are real, but you don't piss them off.
Yeah. No, I like that John would fuck with him a bit.
Mm-hmm. Now that he's dead, he sees everything. He knows what everybody's doing.
Anything else you want to add before we get into some casting?
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I want to... Well, it's just add stuff. I mean, like you say, it's such a short movie.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You want to add character development spaces. Like, I didn't really know who Hammond was outside of what little dialogue he had. I didn't really... really understand the point of Grant Wilson for the most part.
I know.
And I thought the Doctor got way too much time for nonsense.
Yes. Well, dubious nonsense. Like, yeah. Just sitting there going like, this Doctor's really, he's one of the creepier characters.
He really is, like, unnecessarily so. You're supposed to be on his side and because of these theories he has. And I'm like, you're a Doctor, this sounds like the raving of a lunatic.
Right? I mean, at least if they'd made him like a physics professor where he's like, well, I mean, the quantum physics of it is you could probably have two sources of energy within it. Like, you could have him be like he's a quantum physicist, but like a little off to left field.
Mm-hmm.
But as an investigator, it just makes more sense why he's there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's move on to some casting. Who do you got? Who'd you bother casting?
Oh, right. I cast mostly everything. I actually did Madame Gorjon because I was like, I didn't know what to do with her.
I didn't. So clearly don't. She's really just somebody else for a body count, really.
She was there to show the ring. That was basically all she was there for.
It really was, yeah. And why would you kill your landlord? That's going to make you a big suspect right off out of the gate.
Right? Right? This was not a wise decision.
No.
Not a wise decision.
So I kind of just exercised her out of the script, but we could, I guess, use her somewhere else. Not as a landlady.
No. I mean, she might be a party guest. A weird, eccentric party guest. Maybe she's
She's another customer of Bavian's. Another rich old lady who's been spending a lot of money to talk to her dead husband, and she's realized this has all been a scam and threatened to expose him.
And honestly, she could be the one who's in, I mean, it's a social structure. She might be one of those high society types who's paid the spiritualist so much money, and she could have been the one who even introduced like John and Roma to like Ruth and and Bavian.
Then we could actually have a reason to call her Madame Gorjon.
There you go, because she is. She's a wealthy, she's a wealthy old lady
who's finally caught into the scam and lost thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to this guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, hundreds of thousands in the 50s would be a lot, but she could have millions, which back then would have been hundreds of billions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where we fit her in.
Exactly.
Fortunately, I don't have anybody. Kathy Bates. Okay.
There we go. Weird way. I made it Tig Notaro.
Okay.
Because I'm like, this lady was high energy. I'm going to do a low energy one just for shits and giggles.
Okay. Well, why don't you continue with your casting then?
Okay, cool. I didn't know where time frame we were casting it, so I just went with people I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Roma Courtney, Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
Because I like to see her change. And then for Ruth Rojan, I know she's probably out of our price range, but I think it's funny if she does bad. Margot Robbie.
She's probably out of the price range.
She's definitely out of the price range, but I mean, she could be that seductive, crazy. I want to see her do seductive and crazy. I think it would be so much fun.
Cool.
Paul Bavian, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
I like to see him do evil. Dr. Carl Houston, Dennis Haysbert.
Okay.
He's that voice you heard in that thing that one time, because he's done the insurance commercials, but he was in, I don't know if you've seen Flamin' Hot, my cousin, that was what she made us watch. It was the story behind the Cheetos, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos story.
Oh, okay. They'll make a documentary about anything.
Well, no, it's a biopic, essentially. And he plays the engineer at Frito-Lay, and he's quite good. Grant Wilson, I did Ryan Gosling, again, out of the price range. But I think he'd make a fun Grant. I was going with kind of the right age group.
Right.
John Courtney, Echo Kellum. He's done a lot of TV. He's just got the sweetest face. I love him so much. He's in this TV show called Grand Crew. I want season 3. I will not rest until I get a season 3.
Well, best do it.
You guys, if you hear this, I will have a season 3 of Grand Crew. And then Nikki Hammond, I went with Mads Mikkelsen. Okay. I want to see him be like a kindly uncle-y type.
Huh. Yeah, everybody's going to think he's the bad guy.
I know. That's the whole thing. It's going to be a twist.
It's a twist.
And then for my director, I went with Michael Schur. He directed a few episodes because of the content. He did The Good Place and all of that stuff. I was like, well, if you're doing afterlife stuff, I'll just bring him in. He can have some playtime.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. Okay. I think mine's a little expensive, but I don't think nearly as bad as yours.
Oh, yeah. I've got two very expensive people, but the rest are pretty reasonably priced. Well, Mads might be a bit more as well.
Okay. For my Roma, I was going to go with Allison Williams. Yeah. Get Out, Megan, Perfection. So we've seen her be good and bad.
Yes.
In things. Probably why you did Lupita Nyong'o as well. She did it.
Yes.
Both
in Us.
In Us. Yeah. She did that change in Us. And I was thinking along that lines too. And I almost kind of went with your way of thinking as well. But that was also what made me think of Allison Williams. For Grant, I went with Sebastian Stan, Winter Soldier.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. For Paul Bavian, I wanted somebody who had a bit of a sinister look, but was also charismatic.
Nice.
A little tough to do.
It is. It's not easy.
Oscar Isaac.
Oh, there you go. Nope, that's not tough. If you got him, you're good.
Yeah, and if you've seen all the personality shifts he did on Moon Knight.
Well, and honestly, everything, if you go from different movies, he's been like
he's played everything,
the most evil person and then the most kindly loving person. Yeah. You're like, okay,
yeah, he could play the roguish character in Star Wars, and the next thing he's gonna be the bad guy in the next movie. So yeah, I kind of like that idea, because he's a character who can play the friendly spiritualist or whatever we're doing here.
Oh yeah,
and still have that evil undertone.
He's got to be charming people.
Yeah.
That's the only way it works.
Yeah, exactly. For Ruth Rogan, but I think we should just go with Rogan.
Yes, please. Yes, that threw me enough every
this,
time.
Enough of this pretentious bullshit. It's a G. It's a G.
If you're doing Roger with a T, yes, it works, but it's an N.
It's an N. So, no. Ruth Rogan, I went with Blake Lively.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Shallows, Gossip Girl. I mean, we're used to seeing her being leads and stuff, but I could see her doing an evil turn, right? Like, I could see her playing.
It's not The Secret. It's not The Proposal, The Promise, or something like that.
Right.
She's a woman leading a double life. She's very good in that.
Okay. So I haven't seen it, but I clearly was on the right track.
Yes, you are.
For Dr. Houston, who we've now made Detective Houston, Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
Yeah. For Nikki Hammond, I wanted somebody a little older, a little more lovable, boisterous. Yeah. He's also my director.
Ooh.
Jon Favreau.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And honestly, because of his role in Iron Man, he is Nikki Hammond.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too. And that puts him in a position of being a privileged character. I always kind of like it when a director kind of comes in.
Yeah.
And plays a character who maybe knows more than he should. It's because he's the director.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? As like, even as a director, he's very good on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just got that affable quality you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really kind of like that. So he's also my director. And for John Courtney, since we now have a role for him, I went with Wyatt Russell.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Because I wanted somebody who could be charismatic, but also kind of creepy looking. And he kind of does both.
He really does. He really does. Well,
he didn't inherit all the best qualities of his dad.
His dad can do it.
His dad can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, it would be funny if we, okay, I might recast. Nikki Hammond can be Kurt Russell. I love John Courtney, Wyatt Russell, just for shits and giggles.
Well, John Courtney. So, yeah, that was my, I thought that would make a fun brother character to Allison Williams. But yeah, that rounds out my cast. I didn't do the old lady, but I already gave you that. My off-the-cuff one with Kathy Bates.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'll work just fine.
Oh, yeah, Kathy Bates. She can do anything. Where's that? We're good.
Yeah, exactly. She might bring a little bit of horror cred to this.
Yeah. Well, now thinking again to this, the very outspoken old rich lady, Titanic.
Oh, yeah. That was just an off-the-cuff thing, but yeah, totally works. I was thinking Misery.
Yeah, but that also works as well.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, does work. Supernatural 1933 got a 6.2 on IMDb.
Okay.
I'd give it a 7 myself.
Oh, yeah. It is a short movie, but they put a lot into it. And again, Carole Lombard is just amazing in it.
Yeah, it's a shame that we didn't get to see her do more and that she passed away so young. But like, as soon as I saw the name, like, man, even in 90 years later, we still talk about Carole Lombard in an esteemed way. Maybe 20-somethings don't know who she is, but start watching older films.
Look her up. Yeah. She is really amazing.
Yeah, she's mainly known for the comedies, but she was very good in them, and we did do one.
Yeah. And what's great is, you know, we went through that whole phase, like, you either be hot or funny. She was beautiful and funny.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps things up for Supernatural 1933. Do us a favor. Give us a 5-star rating and a short review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts, because it helps get more
earballs
on the show. Follow us on our social media at Invasion Remake on Twitter/X, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. And of course, you can email us your suggestions, your corrections, and your comments. And of course, those fan challenges. With the fan challenges, make sure they're at least 20 years old. You can, I mean, they don't always have to be like a remake challenge too. You can also do a comparison challenge. But yes. Help us source it as well. If we can't find it, it won't become a future episode. And exactly. Make sure we haven't done it already, obviously. And we kind of like a little weird. This is a good example of something with a neat hook. Like, this is a good dramatic horror mystery piece. I wouldn't even call it, this movie was like a supernatural thriller more than anything else.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, there was something really engaging about it. And I do encourage people to seek out these older movies, especially on streaming now. Things just disappear and become harder and harder to get. So you find a copy, pick it up, and you start preserving film history because things disappear from streaming all the time. But thankfully, we found this on Internet Archive, and that's where you can find it if you want to watch it. And I do encourage you to do so.
For sure. And I mean, some of these old movies, again, they were going and doing a lot of different things because movies were new and there's these great hooks, but I mean, it would be so wonderful to just like expanding the world is very delightful because there's so much you could do. They couldn't have the budgets to make these big long movies. And I'm not talking, we don't need 2-hour movies. Sometimes they're too long, but having these old short ones, you're like, if only they could expand that world.
Yeah. I mean, look how strong this was at 65 minutes. And
yes.
Right out of the gate, I'm like, oh man, you guys are rushing through some of this stuff.
Yes.
Like, just like, here's a newspaper clipping, here's a letter. I mean, at least they're clear and give you time to read those things when they pop up on screen. But they're just throwing a shit ton of information at you. And you're realizing you can decompress this in another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And this would still feel pretty brisk at 90 minutes.
Exactly. And give us more time with some of the characters. Yeah, like filling out the world is a great thing to do with some of these movies.
Yeah. I mean, when there's 65 minutes, you can understand why Carole Lombard would do like 10 to 15 movies in a year.
Exactly.
Like, it was insane going through her IMDb, and you're just like, scroll. I'm still 1945. How am I still here? Well, she was gone by
then.
And
she was in her... Well, not just that. I mean, she was in her 30s and died, and that's her IMDb.
Yeah, her IMDb is huge for the short time she was with us. Yeah, she was supposed to appear on the Jack Benny show around this time, too. And that was, they had just done To Be or Not to Be Together. And it was the first time Jack Benny didn't appear on his own show, and there was no comedy on the radio program. It was just musical numbers.
Yeah.
It was because he was in mourning.
I mean, that's got to be hard. He's like, he was probably really excited to have his friend on. And then,
Yeah, I wanted to get into her a little bit. I did a little bit of reading on her life, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm glad it's not, I mean, it's a tragedy, but I'm also glad it wasn't like, oh, she was murdered or she died on drugs or something. Like, oh, she yeah. was on a USO tour. And they do yes. their best to protect, but she flew into a war zone. And then they crashed into a mountain. She died doing something wonderful for yeah. other people.
Yeah, she was just trying to do something, guys.
Yeah, real real treasure trying. That one. Yeah, real treasure. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to even imagine, like, we just talked about a 90-year-old movie.
Right?
I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my God.
But it's wild. Like, some of these names, they come up, like Randolph Scott. I know that name.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, how long ago was this? I wasn't even born. We weren't born for many years later, but no. these names are still there.
It'd be another 40 years.
Yeah. Exactly. My dad was born when this movie came out.
Yeah. I think I was just telling you guys how to email us your fan challenges. So invasionoftheremake@gmail.com if I didn't get that far.
Yeah.
Also, visit our website, invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast. And over there, you'll find a list of our archives, a full list of all the episodes, all of our 31 Days of Horror stuff. And of course, there is a button that'll take you to our TeePublic store. It's Christmas time right now. Uh-huh. Get yourself something nice. Get your family member something nice or a friend. Get them a hoodie, a t-shirt, a mug. We got lots of cool designs there to choose from. We got a few Christmas ones right now as well. We've got the Great Rupert. I always call him Rupert the Squirrel because it is, but I mean, it's a Christmas squirrel.
Yes.
I mean, what do you want? It's a Christmas squirrel. But the Great Rupert is a fun one. We got Santa Claus versus the Devil, which AKA just Santa Claus.
Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny. That seems to be the favorite one in our TeePublic store right now.
So you know what we're saying about movies that are a little bit left of field that we like?
That's it. If you feel like maybe this Christmas we're a little light on Christmas stuff, because we've kind of done them all. We've done all the weird ones now. We even did Santa Claus versus the Martians. And I don't know what I got left. I'm not going to remake Tim Allen's thing.
No.
You know? No. Because he's still doing them.
I think there's a series now.
Maybe Prancer. I don't know. But they haven't made another Black Christmas since we did it. So maybe we'll do that next week.
An update episode.
Yeah. We could technically do Scrooge as well, because there's an animated film that's come out since we did that episode.
Oh, wow. See, Scrooge never dies. They're always making new ones.
Yeah. Or the Grinch, I mean. Not Scrooge.
Oh, the Grinch. Okay.
Yeah, the Grinch.
But there's still
We're not going to revisit Scrooge.
There will always be more Scrooges.
Yeah.
We
yeah. So if you see us tapering off on Christmas episodes, we're starting to run out. But we're not running out of Christmas horror movies.
No.
So, yeah. Horror could just run from October into December.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's something about the happiness of Christmas that is juxtaposed with horror that just people like to do.
That's right. And I'm fine with that. I like my horror movies, obviously. Yeah. We're already a week into December here. Not too many more episodes to go. 2 or 3 before we go on our break ourselves. And then we'll be back in January with Cult Movie Trailer a Go-Go.
Yes.
Yeah, it's no secret. It is coming back. Cult Movie Trailer a Go-Go 6, A New Beginning. Oh. Or The Same Old, Same Old. More likely that one.
I like Another New Beginning.
Another New Beginning. Should I call it Another New Beginning?
You don't know. Maybe.
Maybe that's 7.
No, 7 is Yet Another New Beginning.
Yet Another New Beginning. We have to have A New Beginning, Another New Beginning, Yet Another New Beginning.
New Beginning. Then Still Keeping Beginning.
Another new, you know what? Same old, same old. I was going to call it Cult Movie Trailer Go-Go 6, A New Beginning, but maybe we should call it Cult Movie Trailer Go-Go 6, Same Old, Same Old.
There you go.
I don't know. You'll find out in January. when I've finally settled on it. I've been cultivating trailers and stuff, so I've got a whole bunch on my computer.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm just figuring out how to mix them together, what's going to go with what. Yeah. I've probably got enough trailers to do at least two or three more.
Oh, hell yeah. Many years into the future, you're going to be covered.
It's quite possible. But yep. I love it. Even if I stop doing the podcast at some point,
you're
stay,
still gonna do them.
Stay subscribed. Them. I'm going to pop them out every January, regardless Absolutely. Of whether the show is going.
I think if you just die, what we're going to do is upload your consciousness.
So I can keep making those.
There you go.
That's yep. right. All right. Well, I think that's it for Supernatural 1933. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you give us 5-star ratings, short reviews, and tell all your friends about the show. All that fun stuff. That's a Christmas gift back to us. And don't forget to buy yourself something nice or your friends something nice for Christmas off of our TeePublic store. It'll help us out and keep this show free for you every single week. Yeah. We got a couple more for you for December before we go on to Christmas break. But don't worry, we'll be back for Season 10 in January. Until then, I've been Jason.
And I continue to be Trish.
And don't worry, Sam will be back next week. We are out of here.
Oh, hello, Roma. What's this? First of the vultures. Well, I'm not surprised. There'll be a regular campaign to get your money, but I have other plans for it. Paul Bavian, spiritualist. Fraud.
Why are you so sure?
Now listen, Roma. This fellow is simply playing on your misfortune. Why, it's a business with him.
Doctor, do you believe I could talk to John if I gave him the chance?
Roma, my dear, life does continue after death. There's not a doubt of it. But communication. Well, that's a different matter, unfortunately.
Why, of course. John can't talk. Here, I'll put an end to this right now. Say, look here, Mr. Baboon. Or whatever your name is. My name's Hammond.
What's that?
Hammond. If that doesn't mean anything to you, I'm the manager of the Courtney estate.
I understand, yes.
And you're not going to get one cent from this estate, not while I'm alive and running it. You understand?
Perfectly.
Oh, I know your game. Widows and orphans, eh? Now, just let me tell you that... Hello? Hello? Hello?